verse 2 of Abide With Me, we sing the words, change and decay, and all around I see, O Thou who changest not, abide with me. This is the very key to enduring the change and decay that our world has for us today. Human beings on this earth are subject to their surrounding conditions. We call those surrounding conditions circumstances. The circumstances around us affect us in ways that we cannot often understand, causing change in our lives that at times is very, very painful to us. Changes in life are, as we've learned, often a result of our own sinfulness. They're often God's working in our lives to mold us or to carry out His plan. And lastly, today we learn that sometimes change is just simply a result of the circumstances around us in everyday life. And we all have to agree that sometimes these changes are scary and even painful to deal with. Let's think back to September 11th, 2001. As millions of people watched on television, most of you, if not all of you, remember where you were on that morning as American Airlines Flight 77 circled over downtown Washington, D.C. before slamming into the west side of the Pentagon. 125 military personnel and civilians were killed, along with all 64 people that were aboard the airliner. Less than 15 minutes later, we watched as the World Trade Center towers collapsed in a massive cloud of dust and smoke. As two other planes had crashed into them. Close to 3,000 people died in the World Trade Center and its vicinity, including 343 firefighters and paramedics, 23 New York City police officers, 37 Port Authority officers who were helping to evacuate people from the building. Only 6 people in the World Trade Center towers at the time of their collapse survived. Almost 10,000 others were treated for their injuries. Meanwhile, a California-bound plane, United Flight 93, was hijacked 40 minutes after leaving Newark International Airport, New Jersey, and then later on crashed into a rural field in western Pennsylvania. All 45 people on board were killed. In 1988, many of us might remember the dreadful drought that we had that year. I remember the lack of rain that we had that started all the way back in the spring of that year. I remember the Christmas trees that we had planted in the nursery at that time and how over the course of the summer, despite hours and hours spent irrigating and moving irrigation pipe, we lost almost 2,000 Christmas trees. It might not seem like a lot, but to us it was. Many of us remember 3 years ago in the fall of 2011, the flooding that took place as a result of Tropical Storm Lee. And maybe some of you read in the newspaper this morning how on this date in 2003, the space shuttle Columbia broke up during reentry, killing all 7 crew members. Circumstances. Change that affected not only the people involved, but all of us sitting here this morning. And of course, then there's smaller changes we think about. When we come to love certain products, and the next thing we know, they either change it, or we can't get it anymore, and we have to use something else. The other day I went to buy some ice cream, and as I looked at the coolers, I thought, what's going on? The company had changed the packaging of their ice cream, and it was all packaged in new containers. Well, you can imagine the stress that caused as I struggled to find the kind that I liked. And you know, in some way, that new packaging made that ice cream taste better, whether they had really changed it or not. You see, changes that affect us psychologically in a lot of ways. Recently, I went to the bank to make a deposit. This one really threw me for a loop. And I handed the lady my deposit slip, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have this filled out before I came. And she said, that's all right, you don't need it. We're not taking them anymore. I said, you're not taking deposit slips. She said, no. And she said, in fact, we're not giving them out anymore either. She said, all you have to do is write on a piece of paper the account, your account number, send it in with your check, and just simply tell us what you want done with it. Now that is odd. But at any rate, it threw me for a loop. It was a change. It's part of the circumstances now that I have to get used to, that many of us have to get used to. A lot of us are involved with online banking, online services and payments, how that has changed our society and the way we do business. And oftentimes when those changes occur, such as I felt that day, we feel like we're being attacked. We wonder, why are they doing this to us? Why are they doing this to me? I don't deserve this. It was good the way it was. Why do they have to change it? Or sometimes, what did I do to deserve this, you know? But in all these times, whether it's because of our sinfulness, God's working His will in our world, or just being a victim of circumstances, the most important part of our dealing with change in our lives is our relationship with the Lord. If we do not have a close relationship with the Lord, we can't have a proper perspective that will carry us through the changes untouched by the consequences. If we don't have a proper perspective and a relationship with the Lord, then we're going to suffer the consequences all the more serious. Let's look at one of our scriptures this morning, talk about this a little bit from Luke 13. Now, I want to first make note that that is not what this scripture is about. Okay? This scripture is about what had happened to certain people and getting what they deserved or what they didn't deserve. Okay? Many people of that day and our day today feel that people get what they deserve from God. If they suffer hardship, it's because they deserved it. It says there were some present at the time with Jesus who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, we don't know about this incident. We don't have any clues, any facts about this. But evidently, because Pilate was persecuting the Jews at various times, evidently at some point when they were offering sacrifices, Pilate had killed some of them and mixed their blood in with the blood of their sacrifices. And Jesus said, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? He says, I tell you the truth, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or how about those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now, they didn't die because they were bad people. They weren't getting what they deserved. In contrast, Jesus uses this to teach the people a spiritual truth that they would get what they deserved unless they repented of their sinful ways. That was the teaching there in Luke 13. But I want you to notice something. The people in this story were victims of their circumstances. Changed their lives and the lives of their families. The circumstances of evil actions of others around them. And Pilate killing them and mixing their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. The weakness of the Tower of Siloam. Possibly poor building practices. Possibly decay. They were a victim of their circumstances around them. Remember when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and the furious storm came up on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus was sleeping. They were scared, saying to Jesus, save us, we're going to die. They were victims of their circumstances. But what's most important to take home with us is the hope that we have as we go forward in life, knowing that there will be changes of all kinds. This is why it's so scary about when we hear about change. It's the uncertainty of what's going to happen. We want to be prepared. We don't want to be caught off guard. So how can we be prepared for whatever change life throws at us? No matter if it's our own sinfulness that we talked about, God working in our lives to mold us, or just simply the circumstances that we find ourselves in, how can we be prepared for whatever changes life throws at us? throws at us. Well, the psalmist this morning gives us some very good advice. The psalmist says in his thesis, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Wonderful scripture to memorize. In times of fear, in times of change, in times of uncertainty, in times when we just simply doubt, we can remember, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Dwelling in God, dwelling on God, brings rest in God's shadow. God is the Most High, the Almighty Lord, a refuge and a fortress for His own. You know, the word "dwells" here in the Hebrew language means to sit down or to settle. He who settles himself in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The psalmist says, "I'll say of my Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. My God in whom I trust." God the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, a refuge, a fortress for His own. And the psalmist says, surely He'll save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence, which is anything harmful. Surely He'll save you. He'll cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You'll not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Surely, the psalmist says, surely He'll do the same for you. If you dwell in Him, He'll save them from being ensnared and from anything harmful. He'll cover them and shield them. He'll give them refuge. And though we might be afraid, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. In fact, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. In other words, you'll not be affected by the circumstances. You'll only observe them and see the punishment of the wicked. Through Him, fear is removed and we find security. Those who dwell in Him will not be punished if you make the Most High your dwelling place. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in your ways, and they'll lift you up in their hands so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone. Protection guaranteed for all of us. Promise for all of us. Protection when we fall. If we make the Most High our dwelling place. Now somebody says, well, I pray, I come to church, I have a relationship with God, and boy, does my life have a lot of harm, a lot of disaster in it. A lot of pestilence. A lot of plague. We have to understand that God can, but sometimes does not work in milliseconds. His plan is greater and more glorious than that. We just need a little patience sometimes. We just need to wait on the Lord sometimes and wait on His working to put all things together for good for those who love Him, promising us that He'll command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That when you fall, whether it be in your faith or whether it be spiritually, that they'll not let you fall completely. That they will pick you up. How many of you know that God only provides angelic help for believers? I like to say, oh, I have a guardian angel watching over me. The Bible tells us that angels, in Hebrews, that angels are ministering spirits that protect God's people. The Bible doesn't tell us that we all as human beings have a guardian angel. But for those who dwell in the Lord, in the shadow of the Most, in the shelter of the Most High, He commands His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Gosh, think about that, folks. That Almighty God, the Most High, the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, commands His angels concerning you. That's pretty awesome. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I'll rescue Him. I'll protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He'll call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him and honor him. There's no situation in life that the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord cannot handle. There's no situation in your life that's too big for God. No matter how the world's changing around us, no matter what devastation might be coming into your life to change your life, to bring fear into your life, to make you fall from dwelling in the Most High. There's nothing too much for God to handle. He will provide everything in every way to those who dwell in Him and trust Him in the painful circumstances that change brings to our lives. When we experience painful change or situations in our lives, it's time to fall on our knees and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dwell in Him and dwell on Him, knowing that He's got a greater plan for us, to pull us through, to lift us up, to strengthen us, and to draw us closer to Him. Turning to God instead of the ways of the world, meaning books, various substances, immoral practices, other gods or other religious practices, or maybe angry responses. Turning to God is our only hope in painful circumstances of change. The circumstances around us that burden us and bring us down. Our world has a lot of ways, a lot of solutions for us. The other day on one of the websites, on the homepage of the website, there was a questionnaire that you could click on and go into and answer the questions to determine which religion is best for you. Now think about that. Which religion is best for you? So in other words, religion's all about me? The Bible doesn't tell us that. Religion's all about God, the one true God, the Almighty God, the Lord Almighty, the Most High, the Lord Everlasting. So I clicked in, you know I did. So I answered the questions. And I noticed some of the other posts of the people responding. One person who said, I'm a proclaimed atheist, and mine told me that Judaism would be best for me. Another person said, yeah, me too, and I'm a Buddhist or something else. And it was a fairly biased questionnaire, because if you have any amount of spirituality in one way or another, it would lean you in one way or another. But I was appalled that you could take a questionnaire to decide which religion is best for you and I. The Lord our God is our ark when the waters rise. He's our stone from the brook when the giants threaten to destroy us. You know the giants I'm talking about. Sickness, disease. He's our protection in the lion's den. He's our whale when we've been tossed overboard by society. He's our miracle on earth. He's our bread when we're hungry. He's our light when in darkness. He's our way when lost. He's our truth when we're confused. He's our ever-present help in trouble. He's our island when we're shipwrecked. He's our sacrifice, our resurrection. He's our life eternal. And He is our King, the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord. If change in the society is scary to you, and society is changing, and it can be scary at times, imagine the change that God's people have gone through for thousands of years. It has been nothing but change. But all who dwell in the Almighty were protected and brought through, from Noah to Moses to David to the prophets to Paul and even to Jesus, who, yes, died, but rose to everlasting life by dwelling in God and dwelling on God day in and day out. We can overcome painful circumstances in our lives. And folks, please, don't try to go it alone. That's why we are a family. That's why we are a church. Because it's through our family that we're lifted up and we're strengthened. It's through each one of us that the Lord speaks to help others out. We've all been through the painful circumstances. We're going through them day by day in our lives. The Bible tells us it's nothing in comparison with the glory that we're going to experience in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, the last change will take place. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. The last change that God has in store for all of us. And you know, we like to be prepared, don't we? That's why we don't like change. We like to be prepared. I sure hope that we're all prepared for the last change that we'll learn about next Sunday. But until then, dwell in the Lord, the Most High, the Almighty, and He will command His angels concerning you and protect you and provide for you. We may not know the end of our journey, but we know one thing, that when we get to the end of our rope, we find one person there, and He is the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Our God, we just are thankful for the hope that we have from Your Word.